Welcome to Apple at Work, podcast all about Apple and the enterprise. My name is Bradley Chambers, your host. Back on the show this week is our friend Apu from Hex Snowed. Apu, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Bradley. Great to be back again.
Yeah, well, now we're wrapping up WWDC week, and while we're not going to get into all the news because I haven't had a chance to digest all the enterprise news, and we've not seen Apple's my favorite session about what's new for Apple management, so we'll cover that in a future episode. But something that you and I have been talking about offline, and I've been thinking a lot about, is how sideloading is going to impact IT managers. Now, can you kind of, are you able to give us a high level of what's happening in the EU when it comes to sideloading and where Apple's at?
So the EU's recent rumble about forcing Apple to allow sideloading on their devices seems to have raised a few eyebrows and has given the IT admin one more thing to add to their hit list. Now, on the surface, this seems like a win for consumers. More choices, more freedom. It's all part of the open internet dream. However, it's not the same case for enterprises. As someone who walks both worlds, let me tell you, this leads to a serious risk for consumers as well as enterprises, especially those enterprises not employing UEM or MDM. So let's go back to the beginning. From the very first iteration of iOS, the Apple has maintained a high level of security by rigorously screening each app before it is accepted into the App Store. This process includes checking for malicious code, ensuring adherence to privacy standards, and verifying that the app is functioning as intended for. This ecosystem provides a level of security that enterprises have come to rely on, offering a controlled, like a gardened, well-jailed kind of environment that significantly mitigate the risk of malware and other malicious activities. So as such, Apple's walled garden strategy has long helped them reduce the risk. However, now with the EU latest regulations, Apple too must contend with these security concerns. Sideloading, as you're aware, means you can install apps from a whole new spectrum of app stores that previously couldn't even dream of getting over Apple walls. In fact, people used to go as far as jailbreaking their phones in order to sideload the apps. While creating the freedom is surely a considerable advantage, this opens the door to a whole bunch of risks, malware, fake apps, even social engineering attacks and things like that. So these changes also compromise Apple's ability to detect, prevent, act against malicious apps on iOS and to support users impacted by issues with apps downloaded outside the App Store. Fortunately, Apple also added a safeguard for iPhone users by making it a bit more apps notarized by apps, but still, it's still a question like how far it's going to be helping the consumer or the enterprises to keep it secure and safe. So the risk landscape have for sure changed for the enterprises, but an enterprise with a UEM or enough control measures in place, I think it's going to be okay. So more choice is great, but it also means more potential issues if it's in a uncontrolled like landscapes and things like that. So that's my feeling about it.
Yeah, I struggle. I look at it from two lenses here, and I believe in the open internet. Long been a believer that the internet's built on protocols, and that's what it's allowed the what we know as the internet today to flourish. I mean, I remember my first experiences getting online was through Prodigy, through America Online, and those were fine at the time. They're these walled gardens, and they were good. Like they were good ways to tiptoe into what we know today. I mean, if you just started out with just a simple, web browser, it was more complicated. AOL and Prodigy, they worked because they were simple. But on the flip side, like we have constant security threats everywhere. And you cannot say that the App Store has not been, for the most part, pretty successful in limiting, malware and other things from flourishing on iOS. Now, there certainly has been scam apps that have made it through the store. The App Store review isn't perfect, but it's really a challenge. It's one of those hills you could, if I was in a debate class and somebody said, hey, you've got to argue for alternate app stores, I could argue for it. Then on the flip side, if I had to argue for app store only on iOS, I could also argue for it. And obviously a lot of this comes down to not necessarily the app store distribution model, but also like how people interact in commerce on iOS. And so again, the common example is Spotify. Spotify wants to be able to sign people up for Spotify Premium right within their app. And I totally get that. I mean, part of me says Apple shouldn't be able to take 30% of people signing up for Spotify on their app. Like, there's the free market, open protocols version of me says like that absolutely shouldn't happen. But on the flip side, the iTunes transaction model is really, really easy, and it really, really works well for consumers. So, it's a challenge. It's absolutely a challenge. But the reality is, as iOS has become just one of the most dominant mobile platforms we've ever seen. Obviously, Android has a higher market share, but then iOS wins in other ways. It's not going to scale long term. Now, and one thing I've really thought about it on the business side, I think about my devices and the apps that I use on them for businesses. They're not ones where I'm signing up directly. I mean, I talked about this. I've been talking about this for 10 years that your iPhone is a cloud remote in a lot of ways to a cloud backend. So you're largely accessing various services, and they're not ones on the business side that you're really even buying. That's something that your IT team is buying those licenses for. They're managing those for you. They're connecting them to your SSO. And so is it really a problem to get those apps to the app store? Now, the only challenge there is obviously like the speed of updates. And that's, I don't feel like that's as big of a problem as it used to be. It seems like, years and years ago, Apple could have apps hung up in App Store review for weeks at a time. And then now you really don't hear stories about that anymore. But, it's a conundrum. Now, from a business point of view, this is something I've been thinking of let's say I have managed iPads, managed iPhones. Is there a benefit for an IT team to either leverage an alternate app store or to even allow that? Now, we've not really seen how Apple's going to navigate the controls here on MDM. Obviously, a lot of this is still in flux and still happening, and maybe something we hear about at WWDC. I'm not sure. But what are your thoughts there on the business side? Like, is there any sort of benefit to allowing, allowing your users to sideload apps? I mean, maybe, again, I'm just thinking like, let's say you have a customized version of Box. I don't know, I'm just throwing an idea, the Box app. Is there any benefit to allowing your users to sideload or to use alternate app stores from the business side?
So if you're going to be looking at the landscape, the sideload or having a custom app store, be with Android or be with Apple, it's like a standard solution for all of these years. I mean, it's a pretty old, or it's a very old functionality which is out there. So, for example, if you have like a custom app which is going to get deployed over an iPhone or an iPad as an IPA file, you can just upload that into the UEM solution or MDM solution out there, and you can create your own custom app store. You can just set, this is going to be the bunch of apps which is going to be available either as an enterprise app, or you can also pull in the list from the Apple Store and make that happen. So I'm not very sure from allowing this how far it's going to be beneficial from an enterprise landscape, because this functionality is out there for all of these years. I mean, the businesses were utilizing this, the old school with app wrapping and other things. It's always out there for all of these years. So it's possible for you to create your own app store in pretty much all UEM out there or MDMs out there, where you could just create your own custom app store, custom layout and things like that. You give them the end user option to look through the approved list of apps, which is out there, and then just tap on it and get it installed or get it updated. So you have the functionality with pretty much most of the major UEM players out there in the world. So I'm not very sure about the benefits that's going to be bringing in. But in terms of the risks, I mean, a solution or an enterprise with a UEM in place, controlling or enabling and disabling the app store the external side loading of the App Store, both in Google world as well as the Apple world. It's a simple configuration restriction which can be pushed out into these devices, which could completely lock out or block out whether the ability of the end user in side loading any apps. So that's like a long story. I mean, like it's out there already. So, and for Apple, I think they brought it in with the configuration as into the MDM world when they released this functionality. So I think I'm not very sure about the differentials it's going to be or benefits it's going to be creating. This is going to be a situation where you would be having a scenario where you are going to be allowing the end users to especially the BBOD devices to have a scenario where they could really be able to sideload. And what if they have an app which is going to be able to communicate with the same network where the end user is going to be, or where the enterprise network and the company apps is going to be? That's where the risk is going to be more about. And still, you can just achieve your. There are still a little bit of workaround which I can think of in the current world with Parap VPN and other kind of VPN, which is going to be make it more secure. But I would say than the benefits, I think it's going to be increasing a little bit more risk toward the enterprises.
Well, and I think we would be remiss to not mention that, like, we've dealt with this on macOS for the beginning of time, and it's been okay. I think this really, maybe that's the model we should be thinking about is on macOS. Yeah, you can push out apps via the App Store, but the reality is most of your apps on macOS don't come through the App Store today. And that's why many MDM vendors, they have the ability to, they have these kind of customized third-party app stores. I mean, because you need apps that can do things that App Store apps can't do, or it just doesn't make sense. So maybe that's really the model we're thinking here and should be looking at. Like, it's been okay on macOS, so it'll be fine on iOS, and I think it's just going to come down to what apps you're deploying. And typically, for a lot of organizations, they obviously deploy macOS, but maybe they allow, maybe they don't give deploy phones. Maybe they allow a stipend and they, some of the different Apple technologies to allow users to put their corporate data on the phone. They're obviously segregated and things like that, using different apps like Collide to make checks to make sure it's a secure device, has passcodes up to date, et cetera. And part of me is like very, very nervous about sideloading in alternate app stores. But then part of me says, like, it'll be fine. Apple's built a secure core on iOS, just like they have on macOS, and it'll largely be either a non-issue in terms of user adoption, and it'll be niche use cases, or it'll just be a non-issue at all from a security point of view because of the kind of robust foundation. And it's in iOS has stayed secure because of iOS and not because of App Review, and I think that's a fair way to look at it.
Yeah, but I mean, the moment once you keep opening up, so iOS is going to be staying secure, and the confidence of enterprises adopting iOS or like being more comfortable or like adopting iOS is going to be the moment once you're going to be keep opening up small things like this. That's going to be giving you a little bit of challenge for the enterprises, but I think with a solid measures. The disabling of sideloading or having Parap VPN deployed or containerizing it and having it and more always SSO and things like that, that's going to give you a little bit more control. But still, I think iOS being iOS, yes, definitely from a macOS standpoint, is always a case where we always have the freedom to deploy pretty much like any PKG or any DMG out there. So yes, I think we can maybe see how things is going to be turning around. Maybe we can wait and watch and see. And how things
now. Yeah, that's true. I mean, and I don't know. I think we've just been so conditioned since 08 that iOS is fundamentally different and how you deploy things on iOS is different. Then I think on iOS, it is such a streamlined experience with Apple Business Manager to get app licenses and move them over, obviously even just free apps. I mean, I used to think that it was a huge deal that the volume purchase program had never come to Apple Business Manager, Apple School Manager. And like, honestly, largely over time, that's just not happened because on the enterprise side especially, apps just are not licensed through the App Store. They are licensed through purchase orders and direct sales, and then these things are hooked into your SSO. And I think that may be one way to really think about it is in the face of sideloading alternate app stores, MDMs are a non-negotiable for any business today. Like that's table stakes. That's, you've got to have a strategy there, no matter really how small your business is. You know, a 10-person business needs to have an MDM strategy. I think we're getting to the place too where a really robust SSO is almost a non-negotiable. Is that what you're hearing from? And what are your perspective there on, you know, is SSO going to be just table stakes going forward for all businesses?
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to be looking at the landscape, pretty much all tools, all business tools is getting integrated with any kind of IDPs, identity providers like Azure or G Suite and things like that, or Okta and things like that. So that's kind of become like a norm in the space. And having a mechanism and any authentication, so it could be your CRM, it could be your ticketing tools, it could be pretty much any tools out there, having a mechanism to enforce this is the same user is going to get who's exactly trying to say, like trying to authenticate is going to be the same user who really need to be authenticated and things like that. That's going to be is a kind of a new norm, irrespective of whether you're going to get loading or logged in using a browser or you're going to logged in using an app. That's a kind of a new norm which is happening. So SSO is kind of like a very basic requirement, irrespective of the size. And I think nowadays, pretty much any size of the startup or company size, so they pretty much start with either as an Office 365 with licenses or with the G Suite licenses to begin with. So I think it's especially the new companies coming out, it's by default, they're going to start with that model. So I think it becomes like a new norm, yes.
Yeah, that's true. And it's almost one of the trends I'm seeing is things that I used to would almost think were like, okay, this was a solution for 100 plus people companies. Those things are coming down even lower because, I mean, security affects a 5-person company just like it does a 500-person company. And these solutions are getting easier to integrate. I mean, I think that's one of the trends you're seeing across these SaaS apps. And it really makes the life of an Apple IT manager even easier, along with just like a general, you know, practitioner in IT, is these apps are, you know, apps don't live in silos anymore. They all are tightly integrated. And then really user identity is in some ways your most important security aspect. And that's, again, goes back to Apple's done a really nice job on biometrics and staying local. But just that user authentication is really, really seamless. And again, that's going to work well on iOS and macOS alike. So my next question is, what are some of the, you know, as we look ahead to the rest of the year, what are some of the trends you think we're going to see in the enterprise IT market? Are we going to see, As Apple releases new devices, do you think we're going to see a lot of upgrades? Or is there anything you're looking forward to the rest of 2024?
I think in terms of the IT market, I think so you're able to see a lot of people. I mean, I think especially after 2020, the people do talk a lot about the threats, attacks, and things like that. For sure, having a solid patch management solution and update management solution and things. So that's going to be like kind of a basic requirements is going to be out there. And definitely having like a solid integration with SSO or with SIEM or with XDR. So we have seen, and even the irrespective of the size of the organization, definitely the bigger organization have to have a tooling in place. But even on the smaller organization is really, really thinking about like understanding the risk or like feeling the risk or feeling the pressure of pushing towards a strategy of going like going with the solution which is going to be out there. So if you're going to be looking at the hardware or kind of a landscape, I think nowadays it's more of app kind of a landscape, right? Whether you access it in your iPad or you access it in your Mac, pretty much you have pretty much like a very seamless experience, whether you get pretty much similar experience irrespective of the form factor of the device. So that's what is going to be. So I think it's going to be more of organization getting matured in terms of tooling, the setup, and how prepared are they in terms of attacks, and how prepared are they in terms of scaling up their organizations, and how good are they in terms of, like, let's say if you're going to be scaling from small to big or big to, so you have enough tooling and enough set is going to be out there. So that's what we were able to experience, and more customers asking for more and more integrations. And as a UEM, which is going to be the first component or first piece of third-party platform or in a component which is going to get installed on any platform. For example, if it's going to be like a Mac or an iPad or an iPhone, this is the first configuration or profile is going to be MDM. And if it's going to be the same thing with Windows with Autopilot, or so any of this is going to be the same strategy which we can see.
Yeah, it's the scalability is something that I think is you really see in a lot of focus on that and the ability, because you're not seeing the needs and requirements that IT teams have to do. Like just, you know, the work's not getting easier. The work list isn't getting shorter, but you're not necessarily getting more and more people on board. And so everything you do, you sort of have to think about scalability. And again, that's where those integrations come in. I mean, one of the trends, especially on larger organizations I've seen is where deployment and provisioning of new users is in some ways not even handled by the IT team, where it's hooked into the people system. So like if somebody gets hired, accepts, they start that process of creating all those accounts without ever talking to IT. There's not a manual process like, hey, we have a new employee, can you create their email? That's all stemming from an HR system that's creating all that, and all that data syncing across it. I mean, you're seeing what that allows you to do is to go with best of breed solutions versus having to have something that's like completely integrated, where you don't have to necessarily have an HR system that's tied into your email system. You don't have to, I mean, because data and you can be synced and it can be securely synced and companies are getting on board with this, you're able to really go best of breed. So yeah, that's you know, something I'm hearing a lot about. Something I'm hearing from people in the industry I talk to is just the continuous, how do we scale this? If we have 50 people today, how do we go to 100 without hiring more people?
Yep.
So Apu, any other feedback or thoughts on sideloading or anything that we're going to see the rest of the year, or anything you're excited about from Apple?
I think I'm also waiting on the WWDC analysis part and what is in it for us as a MDM or as a UEM player. And we are also excited. And you did talk about the having an integratable or having a solution which is going to be helping you too. So let's say going from 50 to 100 without really adding any folks. So if you have maybe having a thought about like a SMP, like a SaaS management platform kind of a solution, or maybe like a scenario where the moment once you're going to be creating a user in your HRMS or in your ADP or in your any of the solution which is going to be out there, the moment once you onboard an employee, automatically it's going to go create a user account in your Azure AD or a G Suite and then go create a CRM, depends on the department. So that's something which we are also seeing the trend, just to add on a couple of points on what we asked me earlier. So, and we are also expecting a lot more and changes within that, or maybe like more, we can be granular and be more, giving more functionalities within the, for the our customers by leveraging the existing APIs and which is going to be extended by the Apple. So we are also looking for the updates and alerts and things like that from Apple.
It's always a busy summer when you are in the Apple device management world.
Yep.
You know, one of the things I'm really shocked, and I shouldn't be in hindsight, like with Apple and how they've grown in the enterprise, they've almost become more open. And that's something I'm a little shocked about, because in some ways the Apple of old was, you'll do it our way because we make the hardware. And somewhere along the way, it clicked for Apple that like, hey, we want to sell hardware. And so we want to make it easy for IT teams to deploy us. And, you know, and that's really, I think that's really helped Apple to kind of speed up its growth, because they don't ask an IT department to like modify how they work to use Apple. They've some ways and said, hey, how do you need our devices to work in your enterprise? And, you know, again, just even things, you know, how you can hook up the macOS login screen to your different IDPs, like just even things like that you wouldn't have thought would ever come. But Apple's kind of taken a first principles approach to how they work in the IT departments. And it's become much more of a collaboration with the various IDP vendors, various, you know, solution vendors, and they've kind of just really been very, very open and transparent. And I think that's really helped supercharge their growth, because not only do people on the end user side love using Apple, but now you're seeing it where the IT team would prefer that you use Apple over, you know, PC.
Yeah, definitely. And in terms of the Apple, I mean, when they really pushed, I mean, initially they have started asking MDM players about the feedback about the ABM, what need to be changed, what need to be adopted, what need to be added in terms of the ABM landscape. And then we have seen Apple moving away from the kernel extension to system extension kind of mode. It's pretty bottom line or the very, very inside level, but still that's going to be like more having a centralized controlled kind of landscape, rather keeping it more. So I think that's where they're heading to. And I think that's going to be giving as an MDM or as an UEM, as well as an organization who's using Mac in our end, is giving us more and more confidence that so our environment or the IT landscape with the Mac involved is more and more secure and more controllable. And we only have, I mean, even though malicious players really want, they would have a very limited kind of surface that they can really tap into compared to previous. So we're also so excited on those changes, especially, I mean, so it's not like a big from an outside world, but from a strategy or from a very kind of philosophical change from kernel to the KEX to the system extension model is, I think they're going to be pushing in that direction. Then that also give us like more and more like less surface to worry about in terms or less it's going to be a very controlled landscape versus like a very open-ended landscape that we're also seeing that. I think it's also that also helps the Apple for more getting adopted and more and more and getting more confident. And also definitely, as you said, I mean, Apple is going to be one of the easiest choice for the IT admin, especially with the ABM in place, where I mean, even today we are expanding in multiple different geographies and countries. So and having a little small footprint in all of those locations for my IT team is very easy for them, because they can simply just ship or set up an ABM in the corresponding country and set it up, and without really touching and seeing the person in person, they can simply just onboard the employee and set up, and all the logins and all the applications, everything is going to be so easier and sleek.
Yeah, everything. Probably as simple to say it, when you're in IT, everything gets easier with Apple. And, you know, part of it is, you know, I still occasionally will have to deploy a Windows computer for, you know, people I help IT with. And I tell you, it's not getting easier to deploy Windows today. Like, I would argue that, you know, even though I may be biased, I think it's easier to deploy macOS than it is Windows at scale. I just still find Windows to be really challenging and finicky. And it's just, you know, Apple's, I feel like Apple's got a better deployment story and management story than Windows does today. But maybe, hey, maybe I'm biased. I probably am. But this is Apple at work, so you know how it goes. But Apu, thanks for coming on the show. Again, you know, when this airs, we will know what Apple has in store for IT teams. But, you know, I'm excited about it. It's we're getting to the place. So much of the low hanging fruit is gone, and we're seeing this. You know, Apple's just solved these problems. So we always get like these little nuggets of just like deeper integrations into your environment, just make it easier. But we'll have to cover that on a future episode. But as we wrap up, you know, obviously Hexnode's done some amazing things this year. You want to give us just a quick pitch of who Hexnode is and what you all specialize in?
Sure. So we are a unified endpoint management solution. We manage pretty much any devices out there, and we ensure that these devices are secure, safe, and it is easily deployed and managed for an IT personality within be a small scale organization with a few hundred employees or maybe a very large organization. It's possible for us for you to use our platform and remotely manage and secure these endpoints, be iOS, be Mac, or be Linux, or be Chromebook. So we pretty much manage everything which is going to be coming in our way.
Awesome. Well, again, thanks for coming on the show, and thanks, everybody, for listening, and we will talk to everybody real soon.